Let's get together, talk about the movies that we saw this week. We'll have discussions, talk film news, we'll laugh a lot and act like geeks. Sometimes we'll have a guest or two, sometimes it's just the two of us. Let's crack some jokes and tell some folks to come along and hang with us!
Mike and Mike go to the movies. Mike and Mike go to the movies.
Yeah!
You have chosen...
Last time on Mike and Mike Z, Mike and Mike were given a Ko-fi donation to discuss Dragon Ball Super Broly, which ignited a conversation between noted Dragon Ball scholar Mike Smith and Dragon Ball neophyte Mike DiCriccio, who, after recording that episode, did watch a little bit of the original Dragon Ball series. Now, time has passed, and after the death of Akira Toriyama, another Ko-fi donation has come in to make us watch another Dragon Ball movie. All this and more today on Mike and Mike Go to the Movies.
That was pretty good.
Thank you. I've watched a lot of Dragon Ball Z in my time.
I guess that's fair.
I've nailed the narrator voice by now. I'm Mike Smith, and joining me, as always, is a god of destruction who can easily be distracted by pudding.
Mike DiCriccio.
How you doing today, Mike?
I think that might be the most accurate bit you've come up with about me. But I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you feeling about doing another Dragon Ball episode?
Pretty excited, especially after that rousing intro you did. That was so exciting.
Yeah, hopefully Kyle can add some of like the Dragon Ball background music to place.
But not enough to get a copyright strike.
Right. That's true. Maybe he can compose his own. We certainly...
legally distinct epic background music.
Yes, but yeah, we are doing another Dragon Ball episode today because we got another Ko-fi donation. So last week we did a Star Trek First Contact episode because we got $50 from Ko-fi. This week we're talking about another Dragon Ball movie thanks to another Ko-fi donation from the same person who made us watch Dragon Ball Super Broly a few months back.
Yes, the roommate of our beloved artist, Mac V, her roommate hooked us up, Aaron,
yes.
I think. So shout out to Aaron. I should have double checked, I guess. But I'm pretty sure that's what it is. And yeah, big Dragon Ball guy. And yeah, like you mentioned in the beginning, sort of like a tribute to the Akira Toriyama, the creator and artist and everything for Dragon Ball, passed away recently. And so he wanted us to watch another one of their movies.
Yeah. And I was, of course, very excited by that prospect. And I will gladly watch as many Dragon Ball movies as people are willing to donate $50 to the fuck.
I was pretty shocked, actually, when you, if you go on Letterboxd and you just like do Dragon Ball, there's a lot of movies.
Oh,
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, I think there's, so this is like the first like big movie, I think, that we're going to be talking about today. But there were like a bunch of like 1 hour specials, like those kind of movies.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
That were like kind of coming out in tandem with the TV show, which almost all of them are available on Crunchyroll right now, which I now have a Crunchyroll account because Funimation got absorbed into Crunchyroll.
Yes.
And so I've been doing my Dragon Ball rewatch, and I'm in deep into the Frieza saga now. I'm like three episodes away from Goku becoming a Super Saiyan for the first time. Very excited about
Whoa.
That. All my stuff got moved over to Crunchyroll. I logged in and everything worked fine. And everything got like transferred over, like including my continue watching and everything,
wow.
like, which is pretty cool. And I was a little ambivalent about it at first, but they actually have almost all of the Dragon Ball movies on Crunchyroll, except for the one we're talking about today.
Incredible.
Which was pretty funny. But yeah, so we're talking about Dragon Ball today, and we should also recap. We talked about this last week. We are moving the podcast.
Yes.
Mike McGo to the Movies is going to sort of cease existence on this feed, the Mike and Mike feed. It's going to become bonus episodes to The Complete Work. So we'll still be doing Mike and Mike episodes once every 2 weeks. And up until the new season of The Complete Work starts, it'll still be weekly. But yeah, if you haven't subscribed over to The Complete Works feed for podcasts, you should do that because that's where Mike's going to be.
Yes, we're moving much like Crunchyroll absorbed Funimation. Except these are both things that we make, so it's not at all like that. But yeah, we're combining the feeds. Going to be only releasing in the future, only on the Complete Works feed. So make sure you go subscribe over there.
Yes. Can you hear my dog barking in the background?
Is that, I cannot.
Okay, great. That's that's fantastic. I love to hear that.
Good job, audio software.
Yes, very, very good. Yes, so if you have not subscribed to the Complete Works feed, do so. And yeah, today we are talking Dragon Ball. So before we get into the movie that we're talking about today, Mike D, you started watching Dragon Ball a little bit.
Yeah.
After we talked about Dragon Ball Super Broly. Just curious, how far did you get when watching the show?
I think last time I said 10 episodes when we talked about this, but I don't think I even made it 10 episodes.
Okay.
I don't really remember. I watched maybe like, you know, definitely like four or five and was enjoying it. But then just every time I would open it, I would look and be like, oh, this is 100 gigs because it was always the complete Dragon Ball like series, like franchise or whatever that I had downloaded. So I was watching just the Dragon Ball stuff, like the, or the one, their very first season series.
Yeah.
But I had Z and I had Super and everything queued up. And I was just like, you know what? This might be too much. And I just just pulled the ripcord.
This is too big of a time commitment.
This is too scary to look at. So maybe if I do one season at a time, it'd be easier to like actually get through. Because sure. I'm not looking at, you know, whatever, 300 episodes. I'm looking at 13 or 20 or whatever a season is.
It's a less daunting task.
Yes. So, but I had fun. I liked it. And it was cool because, you know, like we talked about Broly, you know, I watched Dragon Ball as a kid on Toonami and all that stuff. Really liked it, Dragon Ball Z specifically that time. I was having fun with that, but I don't really remember any of it. You know, it's probably been since like, I don't know, fifth or sixth grade or something at that point when I was like actually watching it since then. So having a little bit of familiarity from just those five episodes to be like, oh, that's Emperor Pilaf. Oh, that's the pig guy. Oh, that, you know, like whatever. Other than the big iconic, you know, like Goku and Piccolo and Vegeta and like all those guys.
Sure, yeah.
I recognized. So that was fun. And going into this movie. And then also Beerus is in Broly. And he's, I was like, oh, this is neat. This is like his introduction. Yeah. It's all coming together.
Yes, it's all coming together. And we are going to talk about it in depth right now. It's time to talk about Dragon Ball Z Battle of Gods.
Long ago, a small group of pure-hearted Saiyans pooled their powers to create a savior, a Super Saiyan God.
Lord Beerus, it's time. Time to wake up.
Did you not prophesize that in 39 years' time, an arch-rival worthy of me would appear?
A great Saiyan. He answers to both the names Kakarot and Goku. So, I take it this means you intend to pay a visit to the Saiyans?
I must track down this so-called Super Saiyan. A fascinating adversary is due to emerge.
Just go back to where you came from.
Go ahead and come at me with everything you've got.
Let's kick things up a notch, yeah?
Master! I didn't think it was possible. You're a true prodigy, like few I've ever seen.
A Super Saiyan God!
This ends now! Give up and accept your planet's fate!
Looks like they're ramping it up.
It's all over now.
I am a Saiyan that was raised on planet Earth. I will defeat you!
So tell me, how does it feel becoming a god?
All right, that was from the trailer for Dragon Ball Z Battle of Gods from 2013, directed by Masahiro Hosada. And yeah, we were actually given the choice between two different Dragon Ball movies to watch for this episode from our Ko-fi donator. And basically, he said we could watch either this movie, Dragon Ball Z Battle of Gods, or Dragon Ball Super Superhero, which is the most recent Dragon Ball movie. I remember when that one came out because that was coming out right about the time I started my Dragon Ball rewatch.
Oh. So
that was about 2 years ago. And to recap, I've always been a big Dragon Ball fan. I was mostly a DBZ kid because that's what was on TV all the time when we were kids. For whatever reason, the original Dragon Ball didn't play that often. It was always Dragon Ball Z, which is weird because it's like the second part of the story. Like, you're missing the entire origin of Goku and all that stuff.
Yeah, but I guess you mostly get it, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, and they recap it a lot and all that kind of stuff. But it is weird watching Dragon Ball Z where, like, you know, three episodes into this new show, Dragon Ball Z, Goku dies. and it turns out he's an alien, like, you know, and he has like a long lost brother who's evil and all that kind of stuff. And all this stuff gets like dumped on you in the first like two or three episodes of Dragon Ball Z. And if you are just jumping into the show, that's wild. But like, if you have all the context of the previous 180 episodes of Dragon Ball, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, that's always fun. I forget where I was going with that. The point is
that DBZ was what was on when we were kids.
Exactly, yeah. And so I was watching Dragon Ball right around the time Dragon Ball Super Superhero came out. And I was like considering going to see it in theaters, and I didn't, because I was like, well, you know, I'm going to watch it when I get to the end of this whole Dragon Ball watch, because I've never watched Dragon Ball Super. I still haven't. Update to the episode from a few months ago, I still have yet to watch Dragon Ball Super because I'm watching Dragon Ball Z first.
Gotta get there.
Gotta get through Z. And it's going to be a while because Dragon Ball Z is very long. I'm at the tail end of season 3. There are 9 seasons.
My God.
Yeah, several hundred episodes to go. So it's going to be a while until I get to Super. So I chose not to watch Dragon Ball Super Superhero because Dragon Ball Super Broly, I mean, I got it. I really enjoyed it. But it was one of those things where it's like, oh, man, I feel like I'm jumping right into the middle of a story that I haven't gotten to yet. And Superhero, I think, would probably feel the same way, where Dragon Ball Z Battle of Gods is like, okay, this picks up after Dragon Ball Z, but before Dragon Ball Super. Perfect. I got that. I know that timeline down.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, just like to talk about the movie, it's a Battle of Gods compared to Broly. This movie starts with like, you know, a 2 or 3 minute recap. Of what happened in Dragon Ball Z for the most part, I think.
I think this is a better introduction to Dragon Ball than Dragon Ball Super Broly was.
Absolutely. For me, yeah, I had a lot of fun, especially because it seems like by the time Super is coming around, things are like a little different and like there's some different continuities or whatever. So I remember us talking about that, being like, well, I thought this guy was this and it's like a little bit different in Broly. But in DBZ, this is sort of like what I'm familiar with, and big old air quotes on familiar.
Right.
But to have that couple minute like, oh, they met Bulma and then Vegeta, and like, you know, there's like they fought I can't remember any of their names now.
Yeah, Frieza, Cell, yeah, exactly, Boo, yeah. Yeah, all that stuff.
So they recap all that, and then you have, and then the movie starts, and that's fun.
Yeah, and I also think this is more, I think Dragon Ball Super Broly I really enjoy, but it is a weirdly structured movie where, you know, you're watching like a half hour of the Saiyans planet getting destroyed, and then you're watching a half hour of like Broly on his own planet, and then you finally get to like, oh, Goku and Vegeta,
yeah,
like 45 minutes into the movie.
Right.
And you know, they basically have like, you know, the events of Dragon Ball Super Broly take place over like the course of an afternoon, and you know, they're there for that one big fight, and that's kind of it. Like that's the whole movie. It's fun, liked it a lot.
Yeah.
But this feels like a more like full, I mean, I guess this also takes place over the course of an afternoon.
That's true, it does.
Now that I think of it, it's all taking place at Bulma's birthday party. But I don't know, I liked that it feels like a more fully formed thing. I mean, I think it's a more fun. So this was like, this is after Dragon Ball Z was off the air. It was before Dragon Ball Super started. Actually, this movie is the basis for the first season of Dragon Ball Super.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there were two Dragon Ball Z movies in the 2010s. It was this and Resurrection F, which is where they bring back Frieza. And then these two movies became like the first and second seasons of Dragon Ball Super. Like they just kind of took these movies and then expanded them.
Huh.
Like changed the plot a little bit or whatever. So that's also part of why I wanted to watch this one, because it's like, well, I'm going to go to Dragon Ball Super and I'll be like, oh, I'll be able to see how it expanded, you know, turned it into a thing. So like technically I think the movie is like sort of considered non-canon because they do it again in Dragon Ball
Right,
Dragon
that
Ball
makes
Super.
Sense, yeah.
But yeah, this was like the first like post Dragon Ball Z movie, and it had been a while since there had been any Dragon Ball stuff, and I do remember this coming out and a few of my friends being excited for it, and I think if I was a little bit younger or a little bit older, I would have been all about it, but it was just like, it came out when I was 20, I was too cool for
right in that sweet spot where you care what other people think, so you can't. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, I was deep in my I was watching, you know, Tokyo Story in my film class. I didn't have time for Dragon Ball Z Battle of Gods.
I have cinema to watch.
Yes. Now we realize that Dragon Ball Z Battle of Gods is what cinema is all about.
That's right. Correct. His hair is pink in this one. It's what cinema is for.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I did find that this movie did feel easier to follow compared to Broly.
Yeah.
It's just like along a plot sense. Not that we're going to compare it to Broly, I guess, the whole time, but...
Sure, but Broly is also like much deeper in Dragon Ball lore that you kind of have to be familiar with, right?
Yeah, and this one's starting with basically just like, you know, a slice of life birthday party for like 30 minutes or whatever.
Yeah, it's most of the movie is like hanging out at Bulma's party. It rules.
It's so much fun. Yeah, and Lord Beerus is awesome, and I remember him showing up in Broly, right? But he's like on the team already or something.
I think in Broly he's like just hanging out by the pool, like while Goku and Vegeta are fighting.
Yeah, that's
something
right,
like that.
Yeah,
which like I don't know exactly how we get to there from here, but like it kind of tracks. Like, based on Beerus in this movie, I can see him at that point.
Yes, absolutely. So he's really cool. And just the whole idea that he's, you know, the god of destruction and all that stuff. He's so powerful. He scares all the Kais and scares everybody. And the whole shtick of Goku just being like, well, I have to fight him. Like, I have to I have to prove myself, of course.
Yes, which is super fun. I do like, that's a trick that Dragon Ball always goes to, is it's literally every time you get to a new story arc in Dragon Ball. Like, the previous arc has been, like, Goku achieving a power that, like, no person has ever achieved before in order to defeat this, like, new villain who is stronger than anyone has ever been, and he finally does it, and then the next arc comes around, and this next guy is even stronger than the previous guy.
Yeah. It's so fun.
And so Goku has to go to another level of untold power.
Yeah.
To defeat them.
I mean, it's such a fun, like, it is such a, like, a silly bit, but it is such a fun, like, sense of progression, right? To be like, what? Yeah. How could he get out of this one? No way. This is great. But he just defeated the last guy. Oh my God. Yes. And that shit rules, you know?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Love it. Yeah, I also liked, I think, you know, I really like Dragon Ball Super Broly, but, like, one problem that I have with that movie, or, like, not really a problem, but, like, I remember commenting this in the episode, was like, man, I miss seeing all my buddies. Like, there's not a lot of tertiary Dragon Ball characters. Like, where's Krillin? Where's Yamcha? Where, you know, all that kind of stuff. And this has everybody. This has almost every, like, major Dragon Ball character popping up. Like, the idea of all of them just being at Bulma's 38th birthday party is like, hey, great. They're all here, and they're all here to be able to, you know, they see the threat of Lord Beerus, but they're mostly just hanging out and having fun.
Yeah.
Which is great. There's a moment, there's a lot of great comedy mind with, like, Vegeta trying to, like, be like the guy who's calming Beerus down.
He had to, like, be the normal guy. He's got to be the straight guy.
Yes.
It's so funny.
Just try to be chill and, like, make sure Beerus doesn't get pissed off. And he does this, like, whole dance of the bingo to try to calm him down, which is very funny. There's also, like, a frame of Piccolo doing karaoke. And I got to know what song Piccolo is.
I don't know. It was very good. And then I love the escalation of that too, right? That, like, oh, these are all the most powerful beings on Earth of the universe or whatever. So, like, when Pilaf and his crew try to steal one of the Dragon Balls, they, like, spin it as a bit they're all doing. Because Pilaf and his friends don't know that these are all the most powerful people on Earth.
Yes.
So funny.
Which is so funny. And I think it's so funny that those characters are included in this movie.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, you watch the first few episodes of Dragon Ball, so you know who Pilaf is, which is great. But Pilaf is, like, he's the first antagonist in the entire Dragon Ball saga, and he's, like, a joke. Like, yeah. it's so weird how the whole series progresses. And Pilaf was the first guy they were fighting against. And for some reason, like he's basically, like, very rarely brought up after the original Dragon Ball series.
Mm, okay.
And for some reason, they brought him back in here, and it's like, man, the gang's really all back.
Yeah.
Which is great. And I'm not sure when this happens. Maybe it happens in Dragon Ball Z, but somehow they make a wish to turn themselves into kids by accident, and they do recap that in this movie.
Yes.
And so Pilaf and Mai and the dog are all just, like, in kids' bodies now.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're all, like, pretending, they're all, like, trying to be, like, chummy with Goten and Trunks in order to get the Dragon Ball, and it's good stuff.
Yeah, and Trunks lies that that's his girlfriend.
Yes.
So they have to hold hands? What? This is all moving too fast for me.
That was my favorite line in the movie is when Mai, like, turns around, like, hold hands? Oh, all the kids these days, disgusting perverts.
So funny. And I think that might be the thing that edges this out for me against Broly to keep, I guess that's what we're going to keep doing. But this one feels like it has a lot more, like, there is certainly humor and stuff in Broly. And I remember there was that one, like, crew that's like, they're like fighter pilots or whatever. I remember one of them's like a dog guy or something also in Broly, right? That, like, are very funny. But this one has the Battle of Gods has a lot more comedy stuff going on before and besides all the big fighting and things.
Yeah. And it's really just, like, the characters bouncing off of each other, which is great. And yeah, I do love that bit where, like, they are caught with the Dragon Ball and Mai pulls a gun on Trunks and everybody's just like, okay, like, is this like, oh, the kids are doing like a little like play or whatever, haha, that's Trunks, he's a Super Saiyan, like,
yeah, yeah.
And then Gohan rips off his costume and he's the Great Saiyan Man underneath, which is great. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of like fan servicey bits here, which is fun. Gohan turning into the Great Saiyan Man, Goten and Trunks doing the Gotenks fusion dance and all that stuff. Yeah, it's fun stuff.
Good stuff. And then on top of that too, the fight is, all the fighting with Lord Beerus is very exciting and interesting. And there's multiple fights with different people and like different phases of it. And it didn't feel like, even though I guess, like, you know, the back half of the movie is just just fighting, but it didn't feel like it was with Broly, where it was a single fight for 35 minutes or whatever it was.
Right.
And you just kind of like lose interest. In something. Like for me, I remember us talking about that, being like, well, okay, he goes Super Saiyan. Oh, he's Super Saiyan 2. Oh, okay, whatever. Like, you know, it's just like a progression of a single fight. And this is multiple people failing, trying different things and all that stuff. So it was a more interesting, exciting fight for me in the back half of the movie, where it wasn't just, we're destroying a planet while we fight. You know, like that was sort of it, I remember, for Broly.
Yeah.
But in this, it's cool. You know, you got Vegeta in there, you got the Gotenks, you got everybody. Everybody's going.
Yeah, you got all of them. And there's there's like one moment where just like, oh, everybody at the party is trying to throw like a punch in at Beerus. And it's like, oh man, there's Krillin, there's Android 18, there's Chaozu, there's Tien, there's all these people. And yeah, it's great. I think they are missing Yajirobe, my boy, who you have not met yet.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah. I don't think you know Yajirobe. He shows up like towards the tail end of Dragon Ball, like in the King Piccolo saga. And he plays a key part of the first, like the Saiyan saga in Dragon Ball Z, where he's the one who chops off Vegeta's tail. And then from there, he like basically doesn't exist. He like doesn't do anything.
I'm looking at a picture of him and I don't recognize him at all.
Yeah, he's you know, a bigger dude who's mostly focused on eating food. And yeah, occasionally he helps save the world, but he wasn't at the party and I was a little bummed about that. But almost everybody else is here, which is great. Love to see everyone else. And yeah, I think all the fights with Beerus are really cool. And yeah, I think Beerus himself was really fun, like a really engaging like antagonist for them, and somebody who, you know, he's an antagonist, but also doesn't seem like that invested in being the antagonist. And he's much more interested in just like, he wants to hang out at the party. He wants to have all the good food that Earth provides.
He wants that pudding.
Yeah, he wants that pudding, which is also a great bit that Majin Buu ate all the pudding.
Yeah. I love to, there's a bit earlier when Beerus is first wakes up or whatever, and he's explaining his prophecy that his dream that he had, where he's going to fight a Super Saiyan God or something.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we got to teleport to Earth. Or actually, I don't remember if it's Earth first. I think it's when they go to where Goku is training.
They go to King Kai's planet. Yeah.
King Kai, yeah. And he's like, well, how long will it take us to get there? And like Whis or whatever his assistant. Yeah,
it's like 26 minutes.
Yeah. And Beerus is like, about the average length of an anime episode. Interesting. And then they just like teleport away. Like, what? Very fun.
Yes, that was a great like fourth wall breaking joke, which I really enjoyed. And honestly, like with the death of Akira Toriyama, which RIP, I was very upset to hear the news. Like, I've been seeing a lot of Dragon Ball posting over the last month or so on Twitter and all that kind of stuff. And one of my favorite threads was like, all the time is Dragon Ball broke the fourth wall, which they do a lot more in the manga than they do in the anime. But in the manga, like, Akira Toriyama is an actual like character that just pops up every once in a while.
Really? That's fun.
And like the characters will just like blame him for random things that happen. But one of my favorite moments in Dragon Ball, I think this is both in the manga and the anime, is it's in the original series of Dragon Ball. They're at the World Martial Arts Tournament. Krillin is fighting this guy who uses like the power of like his bad odor to defeat people.
Okay.
Like, he stinks so bad that, like, you know, his opponents are like blinded by the smell and like can't fight and get defeated. And Krillin is like, you know, he's losing to this guy. And then Gohan shouts at him like, Krillin, you don't have a nose. And Krillin's like, whoa, you're right. And he beats the guy.
Amazing.
Just great stuff. Yeah. Also, I love Vegeta. Like, Vegeta, we talked about a little bit as like, you know, kind of the straight man trying to keep it together with Beerus. But yeah, I loved Vegeta in this movie. There's a couple of moments in this movie that hit really hard for me, partially because I've been watching Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm.
One of which is when when Gohan finds out that Videl is pregnant.
Yes.
Because I think it's a genuinely like really great moment where he's so excited and so happy. And I've been watching, you know, the first couple seasons of Dragon Ball Z where Gohan is a kid. And I was like, oh man, Gohan's come so far. He's made it, man, which was fun. But then also with Vegeta and like the way he, you know, he like genuinely has love and affection for Bulma and Trunks.
Ultimate life guy, Vegeta, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you know, watching the first three seasons of Dragon Ball Z, man, it's crazy that villain to hero progression. Like, they do that a few times in Dragon Ball, like Piccolo is one of those and all that kind of stuff. But Vegeta, man, it's like when Vegeta shows up in Dragon Ball Z, he and his partner Nappa kill all of your friends. Like, they kill Tien. Everybody. They kill Tien, Yamcha, Piccolo, and Chaozu, like, all in a row. Like, all at once. Like, all four of those guys. And then when, like, Goku finally shows up and defeats Nappa, Vegeta then kills his partner Nappa for not defeating Goku.
Holy shit.
He's, like, the baddest of the bad, right? And then as the seasons go on, like, I'm in season three now, and I just got to the part where Vegeta dies. Frieza kills Vegeta.
Mm-hmm.
And when Frieza kills Vegeta, it's the most heartbreaking thing. It was so emotional because was, yeah, at that point, like, Vegeta had been a bad guy, and like, it's at some point in the Namek Frieza saga, he's like sort of has to work with Gohan and Krillin and Goku and all that kind of stuff, and he has this like really heartfelt monologue to Goku as he's dying about like Frieza and like how devastating he is and like, how you can't pull your punches and all that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. yeah, to watch that after, you know, it's a really effectively done redemption arc for Vegeta, which pretty wild. And it's still ongoing. Like, the thing about it is it goes throughout the entire series of Dragon Ball Z, where it's like, you know, people don't accept Vegeta as a good guy right away, including himself. He doesn't want to be a good guy for a very long time.
I mean, it's sort of like the Fast and the Furious thing, right? That like, by right. the next movie, the villain is a part of the family now, kind of
yes.
thing.
Yes.
Oh, we love yes. that.
I think Fast and Furious took more than a few cues from the Dragon Ball series.
I think you're right. Yeah.
But yeah, what else in Dragon Ball Z Battle of Gods should we talk about, Mike?
I think it's just fun. Even me not having a super familiar, you know, nostalgia or anything for a lot of these characters, but just in general, like we've been talking about, the having them all be at the party is just fun. Like, you're like, oh, that's Piccolo, that's whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That's those guys. And who's the guy that seems like he's like Randy Savage or whatever? Like, he's just like a regular wrestler or something.
Yeah, that's Mr. Satan.
incredible.
Also known as Hercule. Yeah, he's I think he's the world's martial arts tournament champion in Dragon Ball Z, but only because like the Z fighters have like moved beyond competing in that tournament.
Okay, amazing.
And so yeah, I think he's the champion for that like 1 year or whatever, until maybe I actually haven't gotten that far, like up to that point. I forget exactly how it works, but yeah, he gets involved somehow, and Gohan starts dating his daughter Videl, and then he is the one who strikes up a real friendship with Majin Buu, and then Majin Buu like becomes like the evil versions of Buu, but then he comes back, he turns into Majin Buu again. He's great.
Yeah, he's very fun. I just like him. I guess, you know, whatever, he's basically just like a normal human.
Yeah.
And like, he keeps starting fights like against these gods, you know. It's very funny throughout the movie. And yeah, what else is there about this movie? Other than that, it's a lot of fun and it's exciting and it's cool. And I think it's a pretty straightforward structure and is pretty easy to follow, at least for me, having that passing familiarity. I think maybe that was the difference between this and Broly. It was, you know, I don't know what's going on in Super at all. So like,
right.
There was some things that were different, and I was like, well, I thought this guy was already good or bad. I forget what it was at the beginning of the movie that I was very confused by.
Right.
Maybe it was Frieza. Is Frieza in Super? No.
Yeah. He's in Super Broly because he's the one who is going to Earth for
just
the Dragon
Balls.
He wants
to be taller, right?
Like, he wants to be taller. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was very funny. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was cool. And then I loved actually the moment in Battle of the Gods when they call, is it Shonen or what's the dragon's name?
Oh, Shenron.
Shenron. When they call Shenron and
he's even
afraid
Shenron's
of
like scared of Beerus.
Yeah, he's afraid of Beerus. That's such a funny bit.
Yes.
He's like, oh, I've heard so many stories, Lord Beerus. He's like all excited and nervous to be around Beerus. Very good.
Yes. Yeah. And I do love that, you know, the people who are familiar with Beerus are like just genuinely freaked out by him. And yeah, it's one of those things. I love that, you know, he sleeps for like 50 years at a time and then he wakes up, does some destroying and then goes back to sleep.
Goes back to bed. Yeah. And of course the fight between Goku and Beerus when they, you know, transfer the powers or whatever into Goku and turn him into the Super Saiyan God, and his hair is pink, which I guess is where Godzilla got it for Godzilla Kong. Right. so that's fun.
Super Saiyan Godzilla is actually the next phase of
might as well
Super
be.
Saiyan.
Yeah. And then, you know, they kind of talk, I think Piccolo or somebody says that like the way that Beerus is fighting Goku is basically, he seems like he's training Goku, right? And like, he kind of makes him realize he had the power within him all along.
Right. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the movie, they mentioned that Beerus has been fighting with like 70% of his fighting power or something. Like he was holding back.
But so is Goku. And that's the,
but so is Goku. Yeah.
That's my favorite. Like, I'm also not left-handed. Princess Bride is basically what happens there. And Beerus gets like all pissed off. He's like, what? You've been holding back? And that's when he starts like throwing the blasts at him or whatever.
Right. Yes.
And yeah. And then he basically trains Goku because he realized the god power wears off in the middle of the fight, but Goku doesn't realize it. He's had the strength within him all along because it's Dragon Ball Z.
Exactly. Yeah. And I like that, that aspect of Goku where he's, you know, he's not like an arrogant dude most of the time. You know, he's mostly like a pretty like Goku just likes to fight. He just enjoys fighting. It's cool. There's, you know, there's moments, I think it's in the Cell saga, which I haven't gotten to in my rewatch yet, but there's a moment where like he could have easily defeated Cell like after like the entire saga, and then he gives Cell a Senzu bean, which heals him back to full health just so they can continue fighting.
Amazing.
And it rules. Goku's just so like chill and confident in his own abilities, but he's always like, you know, just there, like he's always aware that there's going to be someone stronger that he has to fight, right?
Right.
That's sort of his thing.
Yeah, yeah. And he overcomes that and is doing the training thing. And I like, we got to see some Kamehamehas in this one, even though it's when he's training on King Kai's planet. I think he maybe does one to Lord Beerus. I don't remember.
Maybe, yeah. But yeah, and I do love that when he first shows up, like when Beerus first shows up on the planet, he like Goku's like, oh, I want to challenge you to a fight. He's like, you seem really strong. Let's fight. And he like, you know, goes to Super Saiyan 3. He does the thing and is immediately defeated.
Yeah, one blow.
Which shows you you know how big of a threat Lord Beerus is. That's the thing. That's what they do in Avengers Infinity War when you know the Hulk attacks Thanos and just gets defeated so easily. It's like, oh shit, Thanos is stronger than the Hulk. What's gonna happen?
Oh no, how are they gonna get out of this one?
Yes. Which actually, honestly, a lot of what this movie reminded me of was my favorite Avengers movie, which is Avengers Age of Ultron.
Oh, okay.
Because Age of Ultron also devotes a lot of time to a party scene where you're just watching like these characters hang out. You're just watching them chill at the party.
That's a good point. When Captain America makes the hammer wiggle that one time.
Yes, which I don't think was meant to be foreshadowing for like Endgame, but like it worked out, you know?
Yeah, it was all there.
Yeah.
What else about Battle of the Gods?
Ooh, the Battle of Gods. I mean,
great title, honestly.
Yeah, it is a good title. Yeah, absolutely. And I do like that sequence where Goku does become Super Saiyan God, where they, you know, Shenron tells them how to do it, basically.
Right.
Like
that's their wish.
Which seems like a waste of a wish. They could have, you know. But I do like how impatient Shenron was about the wish thing. He's like, okay, come on. I gave you your knowledge. That's the wish. You're done.
Yeah. I'm out of here.
Yeah. But so they do the wish, they get the Dragon Balls together, and then they basically learn they have to have like five Saiyans together in order to like transfer all their energy into one Saiyan, and they can become the Super Saiyan God. And Vegeta's like a little annoyed that it's not him, which is funny. But they do it and it doesn't work. And then they finally realize like, oh, you misunderstood. You need six people, like five people to transfer their power into one person. But they don't have a sixth Saiyan, or do they?
What a twist.
Yes. And I like that they plant this seed earlier in the movie, like just at a moment when Videl gets shot after
forgot about that.
When Videl gets shot after Pilaf and their gang's like little like stunt show, and like Great Saiyan Man does his thing, it's like, hey, those are real bullets, you kids shouldn't be playing with those. Then Videl gets shot in the leg, and you know, Videl's his wife, so Gohan's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And then Dende comes over and heals her, and Dende realizes, wait, oh, you're pregnant. And she's like, I haven't told Gohan yet.
Like keep it on the down low, don't tell anybody.
And then when it comes up later, it's like, oh yeah, perfect. And so Vegeta, Gohan, Trunks, Goten, and Videl's like unborn child, they all channel their energy together and give the god power to Goku.
Yes. And then his hair turns purple or pink or whatever.
Yeah. It's like a reddish
hue. Like a reddish. Yeah. And that is cool.
It is cool. I do. Roshi also mentions like, oh, he looks like thinner for some reason. And like, yeah, his arms are like smaller, which I think was interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. It seems like the bit is always just bigger, like more hair, right? Like that's the Super Saiyan 3 is just the biggest hair possible.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the weird things. Like when you go Super Saiyan 1 to Super Saiyan 2, I feel like there's almost no difference. Like, they look almost identical. Like the hair is maybe a little bit spikier. And then, Super Saiyan 3, you go to like the full long hair.
Yeah.
You know, he has like the weird, like caveman eyebrows.
Right. Because I also don't understand what the like great ape thing is either, also, which they reference when shows up with Emperor Pilaf when they're trying to rob the like bingo thing, and it's Trunks and
Goten,
I guess, open the doorway, and they like a flashback of the great ape thing, and they're like,
yes.
And that's when they get out of there.
Yeah, so you haven't gotten to that part in Dragon Ball yet.
I don't remember.
I mean, if you watch like 10 episodes, if you watch like three more, then you would get there. So basically, you know, in the old Dragon Ball series, Goku has a tail.
Right.
And all Saiyans are born with tails. And in fact, what they can do is like basically when there's a full moon, if they look up to the moon, they turn into this like the great ape, this destructive monster.
Got it. Okay.
Which Goku didn't know about when he was a kid, and that's actually how his grandpa Gohan died. Is like he turned into the great ape and accidentally crushed his grandpa.
No.
He has no idea. I know,
that poor boy.
I know. And actually, Goku, I think, still like throughout the entire series of Dragon Ball, I think he maybe figures that out in Z, but through the entire series of Dragon Ball, he has no idea that he does that. Like he has no idea that the tail turns him into the great ape.
Wow.
because he has no memory of it happening, like when it happens and all that kind of stuff. So in like the end of the last saga or the end of the first saga of the original Dragon Ball, when Pilaf like gathers the Dragon Balls and is about to make his wish and stuff, Goku ends up turning into the Great Ape and, you know, causing chaos, causing destruction, and everybody has to kind of run and avoid him. And then at one point, Master Roshi blows up the moon to prevent that from happening anymore.
Classic Roshi.
Yes. And then the moon somehow gets restored. I forget how exactly, but Goku ends up like taking off his own tail. Like it gets cut off that first time and then it grows back. Mm-hmm. And then at a certain point he, but his tail was also his weakness. Like if you grab the tail, he would like be powerless. And so he eventually figured out, like he got strong enough where the tail was no longer a weakness. And eventually was able to just like yank it off or whatever it was. I forget exactly how he permanently removes the tail, but he does. But in Dragon Ball Z, like Gohan has a tail, at first, and like Raditz shows up and he has a tail and Vegeta has a tail and they all have tails. Vegeta turns into the Great Ape, Gohan turns into a Great Ape. They all do the thing, and it's basically to it's like just a destructive power that Saiyans have that makes them easily decimate planets faster.
Okay, makes sense.
So there is that. But yeah, so Pilaf knows that Great Ape thing. Mm. I do think it's weird that Pilaf doesn't think Goku has aged in that time.
Right. Yeah, he thinks it's the same guy. Yeah.
Like he recognizes Bulma, like, oh wait, she's older now, but that's the girl.
Yeah.
For some reason, he thinks Goten is Goku.
I don't know. But you know what? It's making me want to go back and watch more episodes now. I guess I got to re-download it.
We're going to convince Mike to do like 10 episodes at a time every time we do a Dragon Ball movie.
Yeah. God damn it.
Yeah, and I know that this movie was like, you know, there were a lot of Dragon Ball movies before this, like we said, but they were mostly like, you know, 1 hour TV specials or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. This one was in theaters. I remember this coming out, and I believe this was the first one that like Akira Toriyama was like actually really involved in.
Okay.
And so I don't know, it feels very much it feels closer to the spirit of like the manga and the original Dragon Ball series, maybe than, you know, like Dragon Ball Z. I love it. But it also gets like really self-serious and is like really like, man, there's a lot of long fights that that happen in Z. Whereas Dragon Ball, the original series, is more just about like, you know, fun adventures that happen. And they, you know, they always like build up to a fight or whatever, but there's a lot more going on, like in terms of like plot mechanics and wacky stuff going on. And so, yeah, this sort of feels more in the spirit of the original stuff, which is fun. And I think maybe even just bringing Pilaf back is part of that too.
It's just all part of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really remember enough of Z at the time to like have a full opinion on the difference between those 10 episodes of or whatever of the original series that I watched. But yeah, it was exciting. It was fun to watch this movie, and I'm glad we got forced to. Well, I guess we didn't get forced to. We could have watched Superhero, but
we could have watched Superhero, which I do want to watch, and I will watch at some point. But and I've heard great things about that one too. I think that one is mostly Gohan and Piccolo like fighting robots.
Cool.
Sounds great. Sounds perfect. I think there's like cutaways, like from what I was kind of reading about it, it's like, oh, it's mostly Gohan and Piccolo against the Red Ribbon Army, who have been a thorn in the side of the Z fighters for years and years. But I think there's like cutaways of like Goku, Vegeta, and Broly, like all training on Broly's planet. But I think it's mostly Gohan and Piccolo doing their thing, which is neat, which is pretty cool. And yeah, now with Akira Toriyama gone, I am a little concerned about the future of Dragon Ball. I don't know what's really going to happen. You know, I know obviously he was still doing the manga, like he was still publishing that. And you know, Dragon Ball Super, I'm excited to watch it, but I know it is a weird thing where like the show ended but the manga kept going. And I wonder, like part of me is like, oh, I wonder if that was just like, you know, they didn't want to, the Dragon Ball Z is like known for all the filler episodes, and I'm wondering if they were trying to avoid that kind of situation,
right?
And so like, okay, we'll stop here and then wait till there's more of the manga, and then we'll make more of the show or whatever. I know there's another Dragon Ball show coming out maybe this year, maybe next year, called Dragon Ball Daima, which has a trailer, and it looks like weirdly a lot like Dragon Ball GT, which is now considered like a non-canon show.
Okay.
Even though I liked Dragon Ball GT, I was the guy. I mean, it was
you're the one.
I was the one who liked GT. I don't know. It was on right after Dragon Ball Z. I was still in my Dragon Ball phase.
Yeah. What are you gonna do?
But yeah, GT was like a 2-season show that Toriyama was not really involved in. But that was the show. I think I talked about it on the Broly episode where Goku gets turned back into a kid in the first episode. Yeah. I think by Pilaf. Like Pilaf comes back and he makes his wish and it's like, oh, I wish you were a little kid again so I could really teach you some manners, which is the dumbest thing Pilaf can do because Goku defeated him as a kid so many times.
But he's Pilaf. He doesn't learn.
Yeah, exactly. Also, actually, I did want to mention maybe maybe the funniest moment of the movie, which is when Pilaf and his gang come back, or they get out of there, and Mai has like stolen the diamond.
Yes.
She stole the Dragon Ball. She gives the diamond back, but she steals the Dragon Ball, like only one of them. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I stole the Dragon Ball. And Pilaf's like, oh, well, what are we going to do with just one? It's like, oh, well, we'll hold it ransom and we'll make them give us 1,000,000 zenny if they don't get the Dragon Ball back. And it's like, you're a genius, Mai. Yes. And then the dog is like, I think the diamond was worth more than 1,000,000 zenny. Why didn't we just take that? And the way Pilaf's jaw like drops to the floor and his tongue rolls.
Yes. Yeah.
Is so funny. And then he's just like, okay. It's like, well, what are you nuts? No one wants to be that rich. It's about balance. You'd be so stressed out.
But I think my favorite bit was the pig man, whose name I forget,
Oolong.
Oolong, yes. Gets challenged by Lord Beerus to a rock, paper, scissors game for the fate of the earth. And yes. Is it Goten? Somebody's like, he doesn't know you're a pig man and you have fingers. He thinks you're going to throw scissors.
Yeah, or like rock or something. So he's going to throw paper or whatever it is. Yeah. Yeah, no, that was Yamcha talking to Oolong.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and so they put this whole plan out there. Like, you got to put down, scissors so that, you can defeat his paper when he tries to cover your rock. And then Beerus defeats him. He's like, do you see my ears?
Yeah, you see how big my ears are? I heard your whole plan. Incredible.
so good. But yeah, I forget exactly what I was saying, but GT I liked. But yeah, Dragon Ball Daima is coming out.
Yes.
Which looks very similar to GT in the fact that, like, it turns Goku back into a kid, but it seems like it turns everybody into kids. Like, it has like a kid Vegeta and a kid Piccolo and all that stuff. So yeah, curious what that show's gonna be.
That's fun.
But I know Toriyama was like involved with that prior to his death. So yeah, I'm hopeful for it. Should be good. And I know there's a new Dragon Ball Z game coming out this year that I'm excited for. It's like a Dragon Ball Sparking Zero, which is supposed to be like a continuation of the Budokai Tenkaichi games, which are the ones that I grew up with.
There was some bullshit with that game, though. I remember, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I saw something and I was like, I gotta make sure Mike knows about this.
I don't know anything.
Where I think it's that it's like, there's 100 characters or something like that, but like you only can unlock 20 of them and the rest are DLCs or some shit. Yeah, it's some garbage like that. I don't remember if that's exactly it, but it's some video game nonsense.
I really hope that's not true. That's a bummer. Because Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi 3, there were 120 playable characters in that game, something like that, and they were all just on the disc. You know, you unlock them by playing the game, and it ruled. That game rocked. All those DBZ Tenkaichi games rocked, but yeah, 3 was like the one that just had like so many characters, and it was really fun. Are you looking it up now?
I'm trying to look it up, or it was like there's, 100 of them and like 30 of them are Goku. Like, it's like a lot less.
Well, that's
I can't
also
remember what it is. Hold on. I'll try to find it while we're talking.
I mean, that's sort of also how Tenkaichi 3 worked. It would be like, there's Goku, there's Super Saiyan Goku, there's Super Saiyan 2 Goku, there's Super Saiyan, different characters for every power and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's to be expected, I think.
We'll see. We'll see if I can find it while we're talking still. But it's kind of fascinating just to see this, like pop culture force that's been around for 30 years and is still this strong, is very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it left for a while, when Dragon Ball Z ended, Dragon Ball GT started, it lasted for like 2 years. And then that was pretty much it for a little bit. And then this movie came out in 2013, which was like, I think almost 10 years after GT. There was another movie after that. And then they finally did Dragon Ball Super. But I think Toriyama really did originally want Z to be the end of it. And then eventually came back and did Super instead. And I've heard good things about Super. I am looking forward to watching it, but I am not going to get there for a while.
One day. There's just so many episodes,
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, the way I'm watching Dragon Ball Z is like, once a week, maybe at like 2 a.m. My girlfriend is falling asleep. I crack open a beer and I watch like 3 episodes of Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Is kind of how I've been doing it for the last 2 years. So, it's going to be a little bit till I get to Super.
One day. There's just too many.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff, but it is super, super fun. I'm curious. I mean, now that I have Crunchyroll and now I have access to almost all of the Dragon Ball Z movies, I might dip my toe into a few of those. Because I don't know, I did watch a bunch of them when I was a kid, but I haven't watched them in a very long time. And I know most of them are like considered non-canon or whatever, so I'm not sure if I necessarily need to, but I think it could be fun. And especially, I mean, there's the Broly movies, there's the BoJack movie, the Return of Cooler, pretty cool. I liked Cooler.
He's a cool, sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, he was Frieza's older brother who wants revenge for Goku killing Frieza. And yeah, there was two Cooler movies. There was Cooler's Revenge, then there was Return of Cooler. And I think he turns into like a robot Cooler in the Return of Cooler. Like, much like Frieza turns into Mecha Frieza.
Oh, man. Now I just want to watch Godzilla stuff.
We accidentally turned Mike into a Godzilla guy after the Dragon Ball episode.
Yeah, wait a second. Hold on.
Yes. And then there's, yeah, I mean, yeah, like, so, yeah, Battle of Gods was, like, the first theatrical movie, like, or the one, like got a real theatrical push in America. Then there was Resurrection F, and then they turned into Super Broly and Super Superhero. Superhero was the most recent one. That was 2022. There was the live-action theatrical movie, Mike, which...
Oh, God, yeah.
I saw in theaters. I was there opening day to see Dragon Ball Evolution.
Wow.
And man, that movie sucks. It was real bad.
I don't know if I've ever seen, I might have seen that. I don't really remember. I definitely like know the, like what it looks like, but
yeah, that came out when I was like 16 and I was very excited for it. I was like, oh shit, like live action Dragon Ball movie, here we go. Went to see it. It was awful. And then afterwards, went across the street to Walmart and ended up buying Dragon Ball Z on DVD and watching it just to confirm that it was a good show.
Yeah. You had your whole reality shaken.
Yes. And confirmed Dragon Ball Z is still a good show, but Dragon Ball Evolution, quite bad. But it did have James Marsters, who's Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, right, as Piccolo.
Incredible, honestly. Yeah.
And like he was like, I was reading about it and he was like, I think they were originally making Piccolo gray, like the makeup team. And he was like a big Dragon Ball fan. Like, you got to make me green. Why aren't you making me green? And Chow Yun-Fat's in it as Master Roshi, which is wild. But yeah, it's a weird movie where like Goku and Chi-Chi are in high school together, and yeah, I don't know, it's a weird, like, I don't know, everything about it, it's the first segment of Dragon Ball, it's the first saga of like him meeting Bulma and all that stuff, but it's also throwing in Piccolo, and it's mashing in a ton of different things. The movie's like less than 90 minutes long, and it's a rough time. Don't watch Dragon Ball Evolution.
You know, I was almost going to, and you saved me. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, unless somebody wants to give us $50 to watch it, I will not be watching Dragon Ball Evolution anytime soon.
True. I wasn't able to find the post or any of the stuff about Sparking Zero or whatever. So okay. I don't know. Maybe it's all speculation, rumors. I don't really know what I was remembering about there being DLC.
I see.
But who knows?
Who knows? All right. Any other thoughts about Dragon Ball Z Battle of Gods before we wrap this up, Mike?
No, I think we ran through most of it and it's a lot of fun and I enjoyed it. I'm glad it might reignite my Dragon Ball. I was going to say fire, but I don't know. It's not even really quite a fire. But
yeah, you watched a few episodes and then peaced out.
Yeah. It's like, you know what? I think I'm satisfied, but I might be curious again. Might get back in there.
Yeah. I mean, if you get through the Pilaf saga, I think that second season is one of my favorite, like that second saga, the martial arts tournament saga. Mm. Is one of my favorite parts of Dragon Ball, which is they do it like three or four times in the original series where they go to the martial arts tournament, but it rules every time. It's the best.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I think you've met at that point, I think you will have met Master Roshi, right? Like, yep. He's popped up. Yeah. But this is when like that's when like Goku and like Krillin's going to show up and they like become like Master Roshi's pupils.
Got it.
And that's when they actually like to kind of start training under him and doing their thing. And Goku and Krillin are kind of enemies at first, but they become best friends. They're the best.
Like every other character in the show.
Like every other character. Well, Krillin's not like a bad guy, but he's just like a cocky little kid who like wants to be better than Goku, and then quickly learns that he is not going to be better than Goku.
Very fair. Yeah. Maybe I'll get back into it. Maybe I'll at least finish that Pilaf saga.
Yeah. Just so you know what the Great Ape's all about. So
exactly. Yeah.
Kind of get through there. All right. I believe that's going to bring us to the end of this week's episode, Mike.
That's it. We done it. Yes. We done did it.
So Dragon Ball Z, Battle of Gods. Thank you to Aaron for donating $50 to make us watch this movie because it's always fun to talk about Dragon Ball. That's my thing.
Too bad there's not any more Witcher movies where we could trade back and forth between you describing Dragon Ball and me describing Witcher to you.
Yes. Yeah. I did my due diligence with Witcher Blood Origin and that'll be it.
Yep. Fair.
But yeah, I'm sure we can find another thing that Mike D likes more than me and we can figure it out.
One day.
All right, Mike D, where can we find you online this week?
You can find me at MD Film Blog on Twitter and Letterboxd and Blue Sky. You can donate to support the show on our Ko-fi page, which is ko-fi.com/MikeAndMikePods, where you can also donate $50 like Aaron did to make us watch whatever movie you want us to watch. Pick a thing. We double dog dare you.
Yeah, pick a movie or pick a topic or whatever you want. We can talk about it.
Yes. And if you want merch, we have merch available on our Redbubble, which is mikeandmikepods.redbubble.com.
That's right. And you can find me online at msmithfilmblog on Twitter, Mike Smith Film and Letterbox Radio, Mike Sandwich, and Instagram. Thank you for listening to Mike and Mike Go to the Movies. I'm Mike Smith, Mike Decrecio. Don't forget to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or any other podcast app. And if you want to contact us, you can tweet at us at Mike and Mike Pod. You can find the rest of our podcast on Rapture Press alongside many other podcasts about comic books and movie news and all that good stuff. So next week, is it time for a Mike Makes Mike Watch, Mike?
I think it is. I think it's all in right there. And also, don't forget to subscribe to Complete Works Pod.
Yes. Yeah. Go to the Complete Works feed on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever, wherever you find your podcast, because that's where Mike and Mike Go to the Movies will be in the near future. I mean, it's already starting over there. We already started publishing episodes on that side of the on that side of things right now.
Yes.
But yeah, pretty soon that's where they will be exclusively. So get over there and make it happen. So yeah, next week, Mike Makes Mike Watch. I know, Mike D, I think you're making me watch The Pelican Brief.
Yes, I am.
Do you remember what I'm making you watch?
I don't at all.
Okay, let me see. What do we got? Yes, here we go. Scrolling.
Everybody knows this. You just make sounds and it's fine.
Yeah, that's how you vamp.
That's how you vamp.
Next month, this month for April, we are returning to the world of Greta Gerwig. I'm making you watch Mistress America.
Got it.
Greta Gerwig and a Noah Baumbach film starring Greta Gerwig that she co-wrote. And this is maybe my favorite Noah Baumbach movie. It rules. Love it. And yeah, I hope you really enjoy it.
Yeah. To the two ends of the filmmaking spectrum yet again.
The Pelican Brief and Mistress America.
And Mistress America, I think.
There we go. All right. So yeah, that's going to be next week on the show. In the meantime, The Complete Works will be returning soon with season 4. And that is the end of this week's episode of Mike and Mike Go to the Movies. We will see you on the other side.